You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is set to unveil a new international cybersecurity strategy at the RSA conference in San Francisco. Paris prepares for Olympic-sized cybersecurity threats. Wichita, Kansas is recovering from a ransomware attack. A massive data breach hits citizens of El Salvador. Researchers steal cookies to bypass authentication. Cuckoo malware targets macOS systems. Iranian threat actors pose as journalists to infiltrate network targets. A former Microsoft insider analyzes the company's recommitment to cybersecurity. Our guest, Mark Taranzoni, Director of Risk Management at AWS, joins N2K's Rick Howard to discuss the benefits of security lakes in a post-AI world. And Ukrainian officials introduce an AI-generated spokesperson. It's Monday, May 6, 2024. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is your CyberWire Intel Briefing. Thanks for joining us here today. It is great to have you with us. The Biden administration is set to introduce a new international cybersecurity strategy, marking the first U.S. global cyber strategy in over a decade aimed at bolstering global cooperation against cyber threats. Secretary of State Antony Blinken will unveil the strategy at the RSA conference in San Francisco. This strategy plan targets enhancing cybersecurity through four main pillars: establishing a secure digital ecosystem, promoting rights-respecting digital technology with allies, forming coalitions against cyber attacks, and boosting cybersecurity resilience among partner nations. A key element of this strategy is the allocation of $50 million to the newly formed Cyberspace and Digital Connectivity Fund, aimed at supporting cybersecurity improvements in allied countries. Additionally, the strategy emphasizes a proactive role in cyber diplomacy at the United Nations and seeks to develop global norms for emerging technologies like AI. The U.S. aims to foster international consensus on AI usage and cyber conduct. The strategy's implementation is considered urgent, with efforts intensifying in the months leading up to the November presidential election, reflecting the need for consistent U.S. leadership in global cybersecurity, irrespective of potential administration changes. It is RSA Conference Week in San Francisco, the cybersecurity industry's largest annual gathering. The show floor officially opens for a preview event this evening, and we've got N2K CyberWire team members and partners we'll be checking in with throughout the week. So stay tuned for that. The Paris 2024 Olympics are preparing for an unprecedented cybersecurity challenge, expecting heightened threats from organized crime, activists, and state actors. The organizers, working closely with France's National Agency for Information Security and partners like Cisco and Eviden, aim to minimize the impacts of cyber attacks. Despite not being able to prevent all attacks, efforts include employing ethical hackers to test security measures and utilizing artificial intelligence to prioritize threats. With a significantly higher number of cybersecurity events anticipated compared to the Tokyo 2021 Games, the preparation for Paris 2024 is extensive. ANSSI's director, Vincent Strubel, emphasized the rigorous security tests conducted on all 500 competition sites and related venues, expressing confidence in their preparedness for potential cyber threats during the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Wichita, Kansas is facing significant service disruptions following a ransomware attack that encrypted city systems on Sunday. Officials had to shut down some systems to prevent further spread of the malware, resulting in online service outages, although the specific affected services were not detailed. The city is implementing business continuity measures to ensure that first responders continue providing essential services. Restoration of the systems will occur in stages to minimize further disruptions. The city is collaborating with third-party specialists and federal and local law enforcement to manage the situation securely. No details were provided on the ransomware group responsible or any data potentially stolen by the hackers. This incident makes Wichita the largest U.S. city affected by such an attack this year. Researchers at ReSecurity have uncovered a substantial data breach on the dark web, affecting over 5 million citizens of El Salvador, more than 80% of the country's population. The breach was orchestrated by an entity known as Cyber Intelligentsia SV and involved a 144-gigabyte data dump posted on breach forums. This leak includes highly sensitive personal information such as identification numbers, full names, birth dates, contact details, and high-definition photos linked to each individual's document identification number. This incident marks a significant compromise of biometric data, posing a serious risk of identity theft and fraud. The breach's scale and the inclusion of biometric data enable threat actors to create convincing deepfake identities, increasing the potential for widespread fraud in digital and financial services. Passwords and knowledge-based authentication continue to be security vulnerabilities, with nearly a third of breaches involving stolen credentials. Modern alternatives like FIDO2, using hardware-based cryptographic credentials, aim to enhance security by moving away from easily compromised passwords. CyberScoop reports on a new study by Silverfort, which reveals potential weaknesses in these systems, particularly in session management post-authentication. FIDO2 and similar standards significantly reduce the risk of initial breaches, but can be circumvented via person-in-the-middle attacks that hijack session tokens. These tokens can be replicated and used without geographic or numerical restrictions, posing a significant threat even after successful authentication. The research underscores the need for enhanced protection of session tokens, possibly through token binding, which adds an additional security layer by binding the session token to the TLS handshake, thus limiting its use to the authenticated session. This technique is not yet widely adopted, with major browsers like Chrome and Firefox discontinuing or not supporting it. Cybersecurity researchers at Kanji have identified a new malware called Cuckoo, targeting Apple macOS systems. It's designed as a universal MacO binary compatible with both Intel and ARM-based Macs, and found on websites offering music ripping and MP3 conversion tools. Cuckoo establishes persistence via a launch agent and employs a locale check to avoid execution in Russia or Ukraine. It tricks users into providing system passwords through fake password prompts for escalated privileges and performs extensive data harvesting. This includes capturing hardware information, running processes, installed apps, screenshots, and sensitive data from iCloud Keychain, Apple Notes, web browsers, crypto wallets, and various applications like Discord and Steam. The associated malicious application bundles are signed with a valid developer ID. The Iranian state-backed threat actor known as APT-42 is using social engineering, including posing as journalists, to infiltrate the networks of targets in the West and Middle East, Bleeping Computer reports. Active since 2015, APT-42, linked to Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps intelligence organization, has targeted NGOs, media, academia, activists, and legal sectors across 14 countries. Their tactics involve spear phishing emails from typo-squatted domains resembling legitimate organizations. These emails, purporting to be from entities like The Washington Post or The Economist, eventually direct victims to phishing sites that capture credentials and multi-factor authentication tokens. Using custom backdoors NiceCurl and Tamecat, APT-42 executes commands and exfiltrates data, focusing on maintaining access through normal cloud tool features and using VPNs and ephemeral servers to avoid detection. Microsoft has announced a commitment to heightened cybersecurity measures in response to critiques highlighted in a recent Cyber Safety Review Board report backed by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. These improvements are detailed in a blog post by Kevin Beaumont, a security researcher and former Microsoft employee who shared his perspectives and historical criticisms of the company's security practices. According to Beaumont, Microsoft is reprioritizing cybersecurity as its top concern, focusing on 6 strategic pillars designed to bolster protection across various facets of the organization. These pillars target the protection of identities, isolation of production systems, network security, engineering systems security, enhanced threat monitoring, and accelerated response to security incidents. Beaumont highlights the importance of these measures in a blog from Charlie Bell, Microsoft's Executive Vice President of Security, and an all-company email from CEO Satya Nadella emphasizing security as everyone's top priority. Beaumont's detailed account sheds light on past security challenges within Microsoft and suggests that while the company has always employed some of the smartest security personnel, certain practices have normalized risky behavior. He notes Microsoft's unique position in impacting both individual users and global infrastructure, making their security measures critically important. Furthermore, Beaumont discusses new governance strategies being implemented at Microsoft to unify security practices across different business units. This includes linking leadership compensation to security outcomes and enhancing the role of threat intelligence within the company's security operations. While acknowledging the steps Microsoft is taking, Beaumont remains cautiously optimistic about their implementation and effectiveness, noting that true security enhancement will require continuous commitment and may take time to fully realize. His insights reflect a mix of technical understanding and personal experience within the company, offering a comprehensive look at Microsoft's efforts to improve its cybersecurity stance. We note in disclosure that Microsoft is an N2K CyberWire partner, but we cover them just like we would any other company. Coming up after the break, my N2K colleague Rick Howard speaks with our guest Mark Taranzoni, Director of Risk Management at AWS. Stay with us. Every day, your IAM tech debt grows. Your multi-generational services struggle to work together. Building an identity fabric can fix this. It makes all your identity tooling stronger and allows you to connect any app to any service you want to use with zero coding, zero maintenance, and zero app downtime. Strata's identity orchestration platform separates the identity logic from your applications so you can optimize existing IAM tools and manage them in a single control plane. Now, every vendor, standard, and architecture work together. In short, building your identity fabric means you can secure your non-standard apps, keep your complex access policies, retire outdated IDPs, and modernize in record time. So build your fabric with Strata Identity and get rid of tech debt for good. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity priorities, and receive a pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire. My N2K colleague Rick Howard recently caught up with Mark Taranzoni, Director of Risk Management at AWS. They're discussing the benefits of security lakes in a post-AI world.
The 2024 RSA Security Conference is just around the corner, and there are all kinds of interesting ideas emerging in time for the conference. I got the chance to sit down with AWS's Mark Taranzoni.
Mark Taranzoni, my title is a Director of Investigations and Response, and I've been here since January of 2018.
AWS is an N2K CyberWire media partner, and at their Reinforce conference last summer, the big topic was vendor-provided data lakes. Now, a year has gone by, so I asked Mark about the latest developments.
It's been a phenomenal year since we launched Security Lake. The thesis behind Security Lake was really just helping customers democratize their security data. And there were two components of it. One was the easy button for them to organize all their data into their accounts on low-cost storage. And then the second one is normalizing it into a format that allowed us to have a common language across all security vendors and all types of data that customers would care about from a security event perspective. And that formation was Open Cybersecurity Schema Format, or better known as OCSF. Both have been widely adopted in the first year. OCSF has somewhere around 700 individual contributors across a couple hundred organizations, which is much greater than what we thought and expected.
So what problems are you trying to solve with the data lake? The idea of data lake has been around for a long time. We all assumed back in the day, this is, 10 years ago, that we would just dump everything there, run some magic machine learning algorithms on it, and we would find all the bad guys. I don't think we're quite there yet.
So, you know, phase one, obviously get all your data that you care about into one place. That's sort of the easy part. And then what does it enable from a use case and workflow perspective? So we see three major areas that customers are mostly gravitating towards. Incident investigations, incident response to some extent, and proactive threat hunting are the main things that they want to do on top of this data. But ALD is a big data and analytic problem. We're taking the big data component off the table so customers and partners don't have to focus on that undifferentiated heavy lifting. And they can really focus on the analytic workflow outcomes that customers would care about. Now, what's really interesting is there's a couple of technology shifts that have started to happen that enable the data to be more approachable for customers. You know, one is in the form of being able to direct query and have lightweight indexes on the data that is in the schema format. So you really don't have to, customers don't have to fully ingest all of this data into the tool they care about. And, you know, in many cases, some of these logs are highly voluminous and customers find that they have to query them, you know, maybe 3, 5, 10 times a year. Well, if you have to pay for the ingest cycle into pick a tool for the 3 to 5 times a year that you have to query it, it becomes a, you know, really a cost-benefit analysis problem. But if you can, you know, store that data at relatively low cost on top of S3 and direct query it and get reasonably quick responses, that changes the whole dynamics of that benefit. And then the second technology shift is, I mean, we would not have a podcast today without talking about generative AI and LLMs.
Well, I was on my notes. It's by law in Virginia. We have to talk about it. So go ahead.
Like everyone in security is probably a little skeptical, but I've been pleasantly surprised at some of the benefits we see and our customers are seeing from this with very little, little effort on their part. They're getting some reasonably incredible results. It's still early days, so I won't call it the panacea yet. But think about a scenario where you have all this data and, you know, this the multiple sources a customer has. And one of the things I see happening is customers are using generative AI to translate natural language into complex queries on the back end. So I believe most analysts can ask a question in natural language around what they're looking for. Tell me, show me all the critical vulnerabilities across my estate that have, you know, potential access to the internet. Well, that may involve 3 or 4 sources joining together and running a pretty complex query. But on the back end, if the LLMs can translate that to the most efficient and optimized query, the customer gets those results without having to know a query language or understand the format and schema of the data. So that's certainly one use case. The second one is around summarization where, okay, I've got these results, but I really don't know what they mean to me. And, you know, we've seen a lot of, examples of, and we've done this ourselves within one of my portfolio products called Amazon Detective, where we take these findings that are correlated and grouped together, and we run a trained model against them, and we provide human readable summarizations around what the customer should know about this particular set of findings and should they be worried about it. And then the third one is kind of getting more into the response side where you can actually write the configuration changes or patch the OS level vulnerabilities and just reduce the friction customers have to reducing their risks in their estate. So it's, again, still early days, but these use cases are starting to come to fruition through the vendor community and through efforts of us and customers themselves.
Well, Mark, you've managed to hit the cybersecurity podcast bingo. We've talked about data lakes and machine learning AI stuff. So congratulations, sir. You are the winner of this episode of Bingo. Thanks for coming on the show and talking to us about this. I really appreciate it. That was Mark Taranzoni, the Director of Investigations and Response at AWS.
That's Mark Taranzoni from AWS speaking with our own Rick Howard. Are lengthy security reviews pulling attention away from your security program? With the largest network of trust centers, Vanta can help you streamline security reviews to win customer trust, save time, and close deals fast. Proactively demonstrate security by showcasing key resources like your SOC 2 or ISO 27001, and provide real-time evidence for passing controls. And when a security questionnaire is required, Vanta takes the first pass for you. Visit vanta.com/cyber to take a self-serve tour. That's vanta.com/cyber. And finally, Ukrainian officials have unveiled what they claim is a groundbreaking initiative in its communication strategy by introducing an AI-generated spokesperson named Victoria Shi. This digital spokesperson, a first of its kind in diplomatic circles, will deliver official statements on behalf of the Ukrainian Foreign Ministry. Although the AI will handle the presentation, the content of the statements will still be crafted and verified by human diplomats. Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba emphasized that this initiative represents a significant technological advancement, noting, with a straight face, that it's a move no other diplomatic service around the world has yet made. He highlighted the practical benefits of this innovation, explaining that the main motivation behind adopting an AI spokesperson was to conserve time and resources for the ministry's diplomats. Visually and vocally, the digital spokesperson is modeled after Rosalie Nombre, a singer and former contestant on the Ukrainian version of the reality show The Bachelor. She participated in this project without charge, and the ministry has clarified that Nombre and Shi are distinct entities, with only the AI figure designated to give official statements. To mitigate the risk of misinformation, the foreign ministry will accompany Shi's statements with a QR code. This code will link directly to text versions of the statements on the ministry's official website, ensuring authenticity and transparency. What could possibly go wrong with an AI spokesperson? Famous last words. And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. Don't forget to check out the Grumpy Old Geeks podcast, where I contribute to a regular segment on Jason and Brian's show every week. You can find Grumpy Old Geeks where all the fine podcasts are listed. We'd love to know what you think of this podcast. Your feedback ensures we deliver the insights that keep you a step ahead in the rapidly changing world of cybersecurity. If you like the show, please share a rating and review in your podcast app. Please also fill out the survey in the show notes or send an email to cyberwire@n2k.com. We're privileged that N2K CyberWire is part of the daily routine of many of the most influential leaders and operators in the public and private sector, from the Fortune 500 to many of the world's preeminent intelligence and law enforcement agencies. N2K makes it easy for companies to optimize your biggest investment, your people. We make you smarter about your teams while making your teams smarter. Learn how at n2k.com. This episode was produced by Liz Stokes. Our mixer is Trey Hester, with original music and sound design by Elliot Peltzman. Our executive producer is Jennifer Iben. Our executive editor is Brandon Karpf. Simone Petrella is our president. Peter Kilpie is our publisher. And I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Hey, listeners. We're always looking for ways to improve the N2K CyberWire network and maintain the intelligence-driven news experience that keeps you in the know on the latest developments in cybersecurity. We've launched our 2024 audience survey and would love for you to take a few minutes to share your feedback. And hey, there's even a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card if you complete the survey. Visit cyberwire.com/survey. That's cyberwire.com/survey and share your feedback now.